that's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
But the thing with Tarantino that I want to get your opinion on, Alonso, is,
yes,
I feel like, or you too, Josh, like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like, I'd actually see what you think about this, Josh, because I think with Tarantino, like, I get it with certain guys why they stick to film. Like, I understand the aesthetic reason for it. With Tarantino, you know, just, I don't mean to call him out at all because I do like his movies, but I do feel like he's kind of clinging to it a bit, like, kind of like old man style. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I need to, like, kind of like when dudes talk about like how 90s basketball is better, even though like everyone knows 90s basketball is fine, just as good today.
Yeah.
Like, he reminds me of like a Shaquille O'Neal kind of guy who's just like shitting on these like younger dudes who are like trying to make, and he's just like clinging to like an old way of life that it used to be without any real like need to do that. Like, yeah. I've watched every Tarantino film and I can totally see them working perfectly fine on digital.
Yeah.
Right. And then, right, you know, like, to me, and that's fine. That's totally fine. But I just don't know why he goes to bat for it so hard when he's not exactly like using it to any kind of advantage other than to just kind of say that he did it.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me a slight amount with him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I really do appreciate that he is trying to stick to it and everything. And I don't think he has any like animosity towards the digital medium. No. I don't think he does.
I've never really heard him
talk shit on digital.
He just gets, I mean, Josh, you can go first, 'cause I know you're a big QT guy.
All right. Yeah. So,
like, do you think it matters that he's still using film? Like, what's the real point of it other than to just be like for clout? Yeah.
As far as like, as we talk about Auteur and like as a theme here tonight, I want to relate to him and be like, hey, I think vinyl is cool too. I think film is cool too. I mean, he's harboring and holding on to those old ways and he wants to still have that available for everyone else. Like, I remember when, was it Hateful Eight? Is that when not Hateful Eight. What's the most recent one he did?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
One before that.
It was the Hateful Eight.
It was Hateful Eight. Yeah,
yeah, you had
it.
Right. I was thinking Magnificent something. I don't know, but the Hateful Eight. I remember that was a really big deal to have on film, and then all the theaters were like, "Hey, we're having a special showing for this," and I didn't have access to it. I would have gone and seen it, but I don't know if it would have made a huge difference for me.
I don't know. That's a good point. Not to cut you off, but I just want to insert right there. Like, that is a good point, because Hateful Eight was actually one where I felt the film was necessary and did have a cool kind of point to it as his stamp as a director, because it was 70mm. I think you saw it in this way, Alonzo. I saw it in theaters in 70mm.
Yep, on the Roadhouse. Yeah. The Roadhouse.
On the Roadhouse special thing. And that was super cool. Like, that, like, it looked like the 70mm film, seeing it in that kind of like roadshow style with like the, it had the intro, what do you call it? The, kind of music, the overture.
Yep, the overture,
Then it had an intermission. I'm looking at the fucking program right now. That's sick that they gave that out.
Yep, I still have it,
like,
too.
So that had, like, a cool feel to me. Like, okay, he's doing something here with this film. And plus, you could tell the 70... It's the same... Like, 70mm and 16mm, I still feel like hold that point. Because, like, I was watching that movie, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is on film, like, for sure. But I saw... Once Upon a Time in America... Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Sorry. And I didn't really, that could have been digital.
Yeah.
But, like Hateful Eight, I get what he was going through. It was this big, epic 70mm, you know, massively 4-hour-long film. It made sense. But, does it matter to you as kind of like a casual film fan? Like, you're saying you didn't even really care that thing was in 70mm.
I'm really happy to hear your experience on that, because when that movie came out, I wanted to go see that, but I didn't have access to it at the time. So I think that would have added to it, right? Again, it was like a physicality to it. You had a program, you're sitting down, you're enjoying the movie as the way it should have been seen.
There's a fucking intermission in it. Yeah. I never forgot that.
I think that's
like
great.
They gave us an and like, I know people who saw it on digital, on the digital projectors, and they're like, yeah, there was no intermission. They didn't do that with us. And I was like, shit. Well, you know.
And then there was that amazing voiceover afterwards. Where he's like, you know, welcome back. Let me just fill you in on the deep. That was just great. It was just great.
But I think overall, though, I don't think I would have cared whether the film was or the movie was produced in film or digital.
Mm-hmm.
I think one that I can notice, and I don't have an eye for it like you guys do, but I can tell Nolan's style when he does film. Like, I can see that, the IMAX, you know, everything's like pushed in. He uses a lot of those wide lenses, very up close. Yeah. There's a lot of like grain to it, especially in, like, you can see it really well in, let's see here, Inception, Prestige. Like, I'm, in my mind, like, I can see those films and I can see where that, film quality comes through. If I remember, Hateful Eight was filmed so well that and the quality was so sharp that I couldn't really tell. And I don't know if it would have made a big impact on me on the quality or the takeaway of the movie. Mm-hmm. However, I understand the genres he was trying to emulate and trying to portray with, you know, a lot of old Westerns that were filmed that way. And like, you know, that intro scene on Hateful Eight, like, there's the music and then he kind of, what was it, like a, was it a cross or something in the beginning? And then you see the stagecoach come in. I love
The techno crane shot on the statue,
But whether that was filmed with film or digital, I couldn't tell. Yeah. And maybe that's just, you know, my noob qualities coming out. But what about you, Lance?
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Evan. Go ahead, man.
No, I just think that's a like interesting take on it. I appreciate that. Cause like, it doesn't, I think it's just like, as we're getting further into the development of digital and now it's just like so perfect. And I mean, it's basically perfect now. It's like so it's close to perfect. Like a few years ago, even when we graduated from film school around like 2012, 2013, you know, like the Red One camera, I shot my thesis film on that, like that had just come out, like it was like a real question, like, is digital gonna surpass film at some point? And like, I think everybody can agree that, like, maybe it's not surpassed it, but like, it's right there.
It's where, on
like,
par.
Any director worth anything would be like, yeah, I'll gladly shoot on the latest digital camera, like it's gonna whereas before there was like some considerations, like, oh, you know, maybe I'm sacrificing some low light or something, but now it's just like, no, this thing is going to do the job for me as well as film. So like, I guess what I'm saying with that is like, as we're getting into this kind of area where the technology is up to that, you know, par with that, with film, like if someone's using film, like I really need to see it meaning something, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, like that's why I enjoy like the six, like the Carols of the World by Todd Haynes, like where it's just like that Super 16, you know, I know you're a fan of that movie, like that Super 16 is just so impactful. And there's a few other examples I could probably think of off the top of my head right here. But like, when it just has a point to it like that is what I look for nowadays with film. Otherwise I don't really care. Like if someone, if it just looks like a good, a well shot movie, like, I don't care what it's shot on. Like, if it looks good, it looks good.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're aesthetically trying to do something with that film grain and whatnot, like, Carol, that one just comes to mind.
Yep.
Like, then that's totally, that's legit, you know?
That's what you should be aiming for, yeah.
Yeah. Now I see it in the way that you're talking about. It is like a tool, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why that kind of, like, old school, I'm just doing it because I feel like I need to do it mentality is, like, doesn't really fly with me anymore. Yeah. I feel like it has to have a purpose these days.
Yeah. Or the or the superiority mentality. Like, I know that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of interviews with both Tarantino and Nolan were like, they will not back down. I'm like,
nope, yeah, that's what
film is still, film is still better. Like, nope, no question. Film better. Like, you can't, like, that's just... you can't win, you know, or like Tarantino, like, I reject your hypothesis. Like,
did he say that?
Yeah. That's, he said that. Best. He said that to a critic at a press conference. He's like,
when talking about film,
no, just in general, I don't even remember what it was about. Yeah, I just remember dude going, I reject your hypothesis. And then he just, just broke eye contact.
If I remember, like, I think she was asking some question about like why he didn't have a certain character be a certain way. And she was trying to impose like her, you know, perspective of life in his film. And he's just like, I reject your hypothesis. Next question.
Yeah. He didn't even say next question. He literally just looked away. I was like, damn, dude. Like, all right. Oof. But I mean, I mean, you got guys like, so, like, another heavy hitter, the guy who shot Carol, Ed Lachman, him and Deakins will both say the same thing. Yeah. Like, they're just tools. And Ed Lachman just says it all the time. He's like, I just really like shooting on 16 millimeter film. Like, that is a tool I know how to use really well. Just like Deakins is like, yo, dog, I love the Arri Alexa. That is a tool I really know how to use well. You know what I mean? Like, if I am happy with my M4A1 build, that's a Daniel Defense build. Like, am I going to trade it in for a Noveski? Not necessarily if I know that I shoot well with my fucking Daniel Defense build. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Josh? Like, if you're going to go hike in your Merrill boots that you know you love hiking in, like, why the fuck are you going to trade them in for military grade boots? You know what I mean? Like, just because the military grade boots are the new hotness. You know what I mean?
That is a good point right there. I didn't really think of it from that angle. Like, maybe Tarantino's just comfortable with film.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I actually didn't think of it like that.
Maybe he's not old and crusty, you know?
That's just his comfort zone. But also the way he presents it. Like, if he was like Ed Lachman and Deegan, where he's like, look, it's just what I like, it'd be different. But because, again, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I mean, we're living in the era of it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Like,
yeah. I mean, we're talking about auteurs. I think, like, Tarantino is a dude who takes that concept, like, too far in the modern day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's obsessed with the idea of... you know, this is, I'm being a little harsh on him, but he's just really into the idea of, like, him as, like, a singular artist, I feel.
Yes.
The way he's, like, the eighth film by Quentin Tarantino.
Oh.
And it's, like, you know, Kill Bill 1 and 2 count as one film, so it is eight. And it's just, like, come on, dude, just put the movie on and let's watch it. Like, we don't, like, all these, like, paratextual thrill shit, like, I don't care. I don't know. He's going too hard on the legacy card. You know, it's like, we're gonna remember you, bro. Like, you don't need to, like, stamp it. Like, I made eight films, and he just goes hard with that kind of. With
Didn't
that kind of,
he was
like,
only gonna do eight, and
ten,
he's like, I'm done.
Ten,
I'm walking.
Yeah, he's
away.
Like, I'm leaving when I'm. Wow. It's like, okay, fine. Like, fine.
He's capping it at 10. Like, Metallica's right. Metallica's like, look, yeah, and because he uses them as a reference in a lot of his interviews, like, they're not going to be like, yeah, we're only making two more albums. Like, Kanye might, just because he likes fucking people. Kanye's not going to be like, yeah, I'm only doing four more, suck it, you know what I mean? Maybe he will, just because he could, but and then he'd just totally break and be like, nah, I was just fucking with you, I just wanted to piss you guys off.
And he kind of, like, false retirement just kind of annoys me in general. Like, Soderbergh, when he announced his retirement, and he's just back directing shit, like, quickly. He's doing, like, TV or something. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you saying to people,
Tarantino will be
I'm
back.
Retiring?
He'll be back.
Yeah, of course he'll be back. Yeah, yeah.
You think Miyazaki? But so, Evan, before you got on, we were talking about Miyazaki, and he constantly was like, I'm done. I'm not going to make any more movies. And just the other day, I was reading it, he's making another movie. So, it's hard to walk away from, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's why you should just be like, unless you're an athlete, you know, like, unless there's a physical impediment, like, you know, like, I saw Michael Jordan, somebody, I don't want to get into some basketball stuff right now, but no, he like a basketball, like, went off the court, Michael Jordan was in attendance, and he was like, you know, he caught the ball, it just kind of went over to him, and you could see in his eyes as he was, like, kind of fiddling with the ball, like, should I go for a comeback? You know, like, 58-year-old Jordan was like, fuck, I could just dribble this on right now. Oh, yeah, or just pop one up. But, like, he can't, you know, even though he's Michael Jordan, like, he would get his ankle broken in half by, like, any modern day bench player at this day. Like, I hate to say that, but it's probably true.
Yeah.
So, like, but if you're an artist, you know, unless you're blind, like Kurosawa or some shit, like, there's some physical impediment, just don't call in the retirement. We know you're going to be back.
And Kurosawa kept directing even though he was blind, like that motherfucker.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Oh my god!
So and he didn't. Yeah.
Josh, so he funny story. Yeah, so fucking Kurosawa was always a hardcore painter. That was his thing. Like, long before he even started directing films. So I think it was his last two films. He was blind, but he still painted his shots. So the cinematographer used all of he would literally paint every single shot of the fucking movie prior to shooting, and the cinematographer would communicate with him based on the paintings too, and we're talking hundreds, thousands of extras on this set of like soldiers and stuff, and it's a blind director using paintings to direct the film, like, and this ain't no Orson Welles The Other Side of the Wind where the movie didn't get finished. This motherfucker came in on time and on like, are you fucking kidding? That's like Jordan dribbling with a broken ankle and still winning the game with a fucking 3-point shot or multiple 3-point shots. You know what I mean? Like,
wow, that's really
that's Ron,
seriously.
Right?
Ron. Yeah, he went. Oh my god.
Yeah, there's some documentary footage of him just, like, kind of casually sitting in his director chair, like, looking at those drawings and just killing it. You know, like, he's in full control even at that time.
Completely blind.
I think
he could see blurry outlines of things, but, like, for the
not
most
well
part,
enough to direct the fucking movie. Let's put it like that. Yeah, like, by any standard, this man. Yeah,
it's outstanding.
Have you seen Dodaeska then?
Yes, Honda? I have. Yes.
Yeah, that's a cool. Was that after Ron?
No, that was before Ron. That was Yeah, that was one of his art house ghetto phases, like where like he wasn't doing well. Japan didn't like him, so he's like, whatever, man. I'm just gonna make
like Dersu Uzala.
Yeah, like I because I told Josh like my favorite auteurs, like my top three that I gave earlier were PTA, Paul Thomas Anderson, Scorsese, and Kurosawa, and like those guys. And I mean, Evan, you and I talk about this all the time, like. They were fearless when it came to taking risks. Like they didn't give a fuck about like how much money it would make or whether it was accessible. They're like, this is what I want to make. This is what I want to talk about. And I'm just going to fucking do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, you'd put PTA in your top three.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
This is just your personal top
three? Yeah. My personal, I'm not talking if we're talking objective.
No, I know what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. I'm surprised PTA. You put him in your, what do you got? PTA. Would you
PTA,
say?
Scorsese, and Kurosawa. Those are my three. Like, yeah, that I would, if I had to choose, but like, cool. I've had a hard on for PTA for like the past like 5 years, like that man could shit in my hand and I'd be like,
no, whoa! I've watched that scene in Magnolia with Julianne Moore.
Yes. Her confession.
You
know,
I've watched that fucking scene with you on repeat. It's just rewinding that shit player.
Yep. I have since moved on from it now, but I have since moved on to other scenes from his other movies of his, but yeah, now
that movie's great.
Yeah, I just have Phantom Thread on repeat now because, like, Josh, you want to talk about a movie where you can tell it was shot on film? Phantom Thread with Daniel Day-Lewis from, like, 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, you can tell that shit was not shot on digital.
That movie's so good.
Yeah.
It doesn't get talked about enough, I feel. Like, I feel like when his career is kind of wrapped up or just even from years from now, like, that'll be one people come back to for sure.
Totally, man.
Oh, was Daniel Day-Lewis even nominated for? Was he nominated for?
I don't know. Like, I'd have to look it up.
People have like Daniel Day-Lewis fatigue. I don't realize how fucking amazing that guy is. Dude. Like they kind of like, oh yeah, we expect him to put in a good performance, but
yeah, but they're still so like good. They're still jizzing in their pants over Joaquin Phoenix, and I'm just like, but
in what?
Like just anything Joaquin Phoenix puts out, everybody is like, whoa.
Yeah, like he's pretty great.
He is great. I'm not saying he ain't, but like he overshadows a lot of guys who are just as on par as him. Like, your sister is like the biggest Joaquin Phoenix fan ever, but at least she'll give Daniel Day his cred. You know what I mean?
Yeah.